I've been trading for a long time. I'm 51 now, and I've never seen markets like this in my lifetime, Andy. You haven't either. We're similar aged, and you have to go back to January 1980 to see anything like this. So it's really unprecedented, and gold was crazy overbought even after that sell-off. So we just watched this thing rally through the China Monday phenomenon. But January 2026 got scary because gold was the most overbought it had been since March 1980. January 1980 was when the infamous gold bubble peaked. This time it's different are the most dangerous words in all of market history.
Right.
I would posit that it's never different. The reason I would say that is because human emotions never change. We all have greed and fear in our hearts. All speculators, investors fight their own emotions, their greed and fear. They try not to do what the herd does. If you want to buy low, then sell high. You have to do the opposite of what everyone else does.
Right.
So you want to buy when you least want to. You want to sell when you least want to. If you feel good about buying and selling, you're doing it wrong. It should always be painful, always be an internal struggle. And human greed and fear never change. They never will.
Adam Hamilton Zeal, good morning to you. How are you, my friend?
Outstanding, Andy. Great to see you. Thank you so much for having me.
No, it's my pleasure. Thanks for coming on. So, thinking a lot of you, and to all my viewers and listeners, I've been reading Adam's and Zeal's stuff for close to 25 years. And it's really some of the best stuff out there. And you might not have ever heard it, but I've always thought it to be fantastic and well done, both from a macro level as well as a technical level. Adam, let's start with metals have been ripping. That's been our conversation since I've had you on the show. They really ripped in January, a lot of money flowing in there. And then we've had this correction, and I would call it a severe correction, which is all to be expected in silver, and to a lesser extent in gold percentage-wise, but it's still that. And just tell me where we're at and what are your thoughts are and all of that.
Yeah, Andy, these markets are the craziest I've ever seen. I founded my little company back in 2000. I started trading when I was 12 years old because I've always loved markets and finance. And when I was a little kid, my dad told me that, you know, Adam, I had a job mowing lawns and I made $1,000 in a summer mowing lawns. And I thought I was rich, $1,000, little kid, just a ton of money back then. And my dad's like, you know how hard you worked, Adam? Well, you could make that much money doing nothing over a few years. I'm like, really? You know, yeah, buy a stock, put your money in the stock markets. And so I've been trading for a long time. I'm 51 now. And I've never seen markets like this in my lifetime, Andy. You haven't either. We're similar aged. And you have to go back to January 1980 to see anything like this. So it's really unprecedented within the lifetimes of the vast majority of investors and speculators. We haven't seen anything like this, you know, in 50-ish years, 46 years. And so it's absolutely incredible. But yeah, gold and silver, they got really overbought, especially gold back in mid-October. And you and I talked back then and after. I was looking for a correction or even a bear market after that based on market history. I like to look at all the history and kind of see what prices and markets and things have done historically. I think that gives an indication of what they might or what they're capable of doing currently. You know, history rhymes. It doesn't repeat exactly. But if you look at past major bull markets in gold or silver, past major toppings, and see what happened next, I think that gives a good indication of what you can expect. But after mid-October, it was really interesting because gold and silver just corrected modestly, just sold off modestly. Gold wasn't even a correction. Technically, a correction is 10% plus, as you know.
Yeah.
But gold didn't fall that 10%. It fell like 8%. Then it started rallying again. And that rally from mid-October to mid-January was really unusual, Andy. It almost all happened in a very specific narrow time frame. That was overnight and Sunday nights into Monday morning U.S. time. That's when Chinese markets are open, but the rest of the world's markets are closed. So there's a few hours Sunday night New York time when Chinese markets dominate global pricing. And gold would be bid up massively. I call these China Mondays. During Chinese trading on Monday morning in China, gold would be bid up like 2, 3, 4%. And nothing had happened in the U.S. in those Mondays, but gold would hold most of those gains, maybe add, you know, a tenth more to them or take away a tenth. But essentially, those China Monday gains would hold. And after three or four of those over several months into December, a couple months into December, American and European investors just started chasing the momentum. And the Chinese buying stayed there. The China Monday phenomenon stayed both during Thanksgiving week, which is a low volume week, and also Christmas week, another low volume holiday shortened week. There were huge rallies. There were big China Monday rallies to kick off those weeks when most traders are on vacation or at least checked out and not paying attention. And then American and European buying piled on in those low volume days, and most American traders were gone. So it's been a really unusual rally to take us into mid-January. I've never seen anything like it in all my years of trading and market observations. It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it is. And I remember exactly what you're talking about. And we talked about it, and I put my money where my mouth is. I still have a lot of gold, still have a lot of gold stocks, but I took a lot of money off the table really in September, mid to late September, just because I thought, hey, I think this is coming. This is going parabolic. What I didn't expect was the brevity of that sell-off. And then just really a spike back up, and then it just really went parabolic, going through December and then January, both silver and gold. Silver, I want to say, correct me if I'm wrong, Adam, was around, broke 50, I want to say early December, and then it just ran, it just doubled, and that really scared me, in the next 30 days or so. But what's your, and you said something key here. You said that it reminds you of 1980. That was the top for a good for a good I don't know, 40 years almost. What are your thoughts on all of that? Yeah, where are we at?
Yeah, the January 1980 comparison is frightening to me. Like you, I love gold, gold stocks, own them forever. I keep two trading portfolios. One I detail in my monthly newsletter. That's my investment portfolio. I never sell those positions. Bulls, bears, corrections, crashes, I'll keep them, forever until I need the money for some reason. I have a second portfolio for our weekly newsletter, a speculative portfolio. And I have trailing stop losses on all those short-term trades defined as less than 1 year. And so we got stopped out of everything in mid-October. Gold fell hard, like a 5.1% down day or something in mid-October. And that was one of its biggest down days ever. And the gold stocks doubled, tripled that like usual. So we lost all our positions in mid-October. Had huge gains, like 120% average annualized realized last year, which was fantastic. Really thankful for that. But so we've been out of gold stocks since mid-October, since that stopping. The reason why is because we had that mild sell-off, and gold and silver were still, gold especially, was still extremely overbought by all historical standards. One way to measure overboughtness, the way I prefer, is to take a price and divide it by its 200-day moving average. Really simple calculation. And if you chart that multiple, that ratio over time, it shows gold in constant percentage terms relative to its 200 DMA baseline. And gold was crazy overbought even after that sell-off. So we just watched this thing rally through the China Monday phenomenon. But January 2026 got scary because gold was the most overbought it had been since March 1980. January 1980 was when the infamous gold bubble peaked. That was $850 an ounce nominal way back then. I was a little kid, 6, 7 years old. So I don't remember that. But, I've researched a lot historically. And so gold was at a 46-ish year high in overboughtness. Silver was the most overbought it had been since January 1980, one day after it peaked. And, gold didn't regain that January 1980 high until like 2000, I want to say 2008, Andy, 28 years.
Yeah, you're right.
And then and silver didn't, silver briefly broke above the $48 per ounce it hit in January 1980. I think like 13 years or so ago, but it was a single day close, just a few percent above it. So for all intents and purposes, silver didn't break out above its January 1980 high decisively until October 2025. So 45 years. And so these parabolic moves are really dangerous, really scary. And when you have a price go vertical, especially like silver, silver, as you mentioned, went up 150% in less than 3 months. I would define a parabola based on my studies of market history. A parabolic ascent is a doubling in 2 to 3 months. So silver just smashed that that empirical criteria for that. It the sell-offs after these are just massive and brutal and violent. After January 1980, silver fell like 77% in less than 3 months. Gold fell like 44%, 43, 44% in the same time period after that January 1980 peak. And we've seen nothing in the in precious metals like this since January 1980. This is the only comparable data point. I like to go back to 1971. You and I have talked about this in the past, about Richard Nixon severing the dollar from the gold standard in August 1971. Before that, the dollar was hard pegged to a certain gold price, 20, a little bit under 21 before 1934. From 1934 to 1971, about $35 an ounce. So the entire history of dollar gold is essentially 1971 on. And we've never seen anything like this in dollar gold since January 1980. And the outcomes from that were so bad. I don't think this time around will be that bad for various reasons we get into if you're interested, but we need a serious, brutal sell-off here to rebalance extreme herd greed and extremely crazy overbought technicals.
Yeah, I want to go both. I want to go to there both in both cases. I want to talk to me about the technicals and the greed and what. And it's just my opinion. We need some sort of either sell-off or consolidation. But talk to me about that. And then I don't want to say that talk. I don't want to say this time is different. Famous last words too many of a speculator.
Amen.
But I do want to know why this is different in your opinion, or what are the fundamentals and technicals telling you what's the further upside, or why should we believe in gold and silver more here on the upside?
Well, this time it's different are the most dangerous words in all of market history.
Right.
I would posit that it's never different. The reason I would say that is because human emotions never change. We all have greed and fear in our hearts. All speculators, investors fight their own emotions, their greed and fear. They try not to do what the herd does. If you want to buy low, then sell high. You have to do the opposite of what everyone else does.
Right.
So you want to buy when you least want to. You want to sell when you least want to. If you feel good about buying and selling, you're doing it wrong. It should always be painful, always be a internal struggle. And human greed and fear never change. They never will. So the reason I would say this time it's different after doing that is because, especially in gold, the overboughtness in January 2026 was nowhere near as extreme as January 1980. I'm trying to remember these numbers, but gold got to like 43.5% above its 200 EMA in January 2026, and it was over double its 200 EMA, I think, in January 1980. So the January 1980 parabolic moonshot for gold was way, way, way more extreme. It was also way more extreme for silver. I'm working on some research for that for an essay this week. I'm going to publish this Friday. But because this extreme, even though it was the most extreme precious metals event since January 1980, it was nowhere near as extreme as January 1980, thankfully. This was mainly Chinese driven with a little bit of Western follow-on buying. It wasn't like a speculative mania in America and Europe. It wasn't a, that kind of thing like January 1980. And because it wasn't as extreme, not as overbought, not as sharp a bull run. Another way to measure that is I like to look at cyclical bulls and bears since January 1971, like 10% plus moves either direction in gold and silver. And one thing you can do is you can divide the gains that a price makes within the months, the period of time it makes it. You get kind of a monthly ascent pace. And the monthly ascent pace of gold and silver in January 1980 was crazy extreme, all-time record highs. And the monthly ascent pace into January 2026 was nowhere near that, way down the list of like
That's
all
a
the
great perspective. Go ahead.
no. And so these we need some kind of big rebalancing. It could be a high consolidation. We've had three or four of those so far in this bull. The gold has tripled. It's up 196% in 28 months since October 2023. And that's an extreme move. The monthly ascent pace wasn't crazy relative to history. But after a tripling in a couple of years, you'd think you need some kind of sell-off to just work off the extreme herd greed, the extreme technicals. I've looked at average sell-offs after the this is the biggest cyclical gold bull ever, dollar term, since 1971 by far, 196%. The January 1980 peak was like 128%. So this just trounces that, just dwarfs that. But the average decline after the next 10 largest cyclical bulls since 1971 was about 21% over 2 months or so. I looked at it a different way. I looked at the most overbought bull market toppings based on gold divided by its 200-day moving average. And this overboughtness episode ranks as fifth out of all the bull markets since 1971. And if you look at the 10 largest excluding this one, the average decline is also just under 21%, also in about 2.1 months. So I really think we need a 20%-ish sell-off here, Andy. A high consolidation is possible, but not probable based on market history. And maybe Chinese demand will stay strong enough. Maybe American demand will kick in enough to do another high consolidation. But man, the high probability bet is for a serious drought on the order of 20% in, few months or so.
Let's play out that theory and talk about that. So, and I'm somewhat agnostic. And I would say I believe with just the statistics that you showed me. So I'm going from agnosticism to I believe. But that's still really high. So if you take gold currently, which let's just ballpark it at a $5,000 US dollar, silver at 80 bucks US dollars, you're still looking at a sell-off to around $4,000 US dollars in gold and around 64-ish, 65-ish in silver. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's still really high. You know, silver would about double gold's decline historically. So your numbers are spot on there. Yeah, 4,000 gold would be amazing. The gold miners still make just unbelievable oodles of money at
It's
$4,000 an ounce. You
great.
know, since I've not been in gold stock trade since mid-October because of that extreme topping and the extreme overboughtness ever since, a lot of readers and subscribers are understandably upset. You know, they're, why aren't you in? Why aren't you in? Why aren't you in? And I explain this in every newsletter. This is why. This is history. You know, well, you shouldn't do history. And people, in order to justify that, this time it's a different thing. There's a lot of fundamental arguments in favor in gold, and they're really strong.
Sure.
And they may be right. Maybe we can consolidate high again. You know, maybe gold can keep rallying from here. I kind of doubt that without at least a multi-month high consolidation like the summer of 2025. But something needs to happen to rebalance this herd greed, which is just so extreme.
Yeah. Completely agree with that. And I don't know what it is, whether it's a consolidation higher or lower. And by the way, I own a lot of gold stocks, everybody. It's not like I'm bearish, but this frightened me, and so I took a lot of money off the table early. But it's better to be early than wrong, or hold on too late, as you
Absolutely.
know, Adam.
Yes.
But I am looking for I don't know if it's going to be consolidation higher or if it's going to be lower. And again, I'm agnostic on that. I really don't care. But I am looking. I'm not chomping at the bit for entry, but I am looking for re-entry, specifically in the gold stock. So let's talk about that GDX or GDXJ. Are you looking? And those stocks just hit it out of the park in 25. Are you looking for just a sideways pattern, even more pain? Here we go in 26. What are you looking for?
The thing about gold stocks is no matter what their fundamentals are, they're just peripheral plays in gold. Like technically, all a gold stock price will do is leverage amplify gold to some
Right.
degree, upside and downside. So if you're trading gold stocks, all that matters is what gold does. It doesn't matter as a group, you know, how much money they're making, what their PEs are, you know, what their prospects are. And that sounds kind of callous, but that's just the way gold stocks work. They're ultimately leverage plays in gold. So you got to approach gold first before gold stocks. If we get that 20% sell-off in gold, which may not happen, as you said, we may just drift sideways and maybe it'll keep going up. If we get a 20% sell-off on gold, historically, the major gold stocks of GDX tended to amplify material gold moves by 2 times to 3 times. So we're looking at 40% to 60% downside from their late January 2026 peak, which is brutal. I'd say to be closer to 40% because gold stocks didn't leverage gold's, you know, pop perspective mania type move in January 2026 that massively. But even 40%, you know, would you rather buy here or 30, 40% lower? I'd rather buy 30, 40% lower if that's going to happen. Plus, it would stop me out of all our trades if we had a 30% drawdown or 40%, God forbid. So if gold has that 20%-ish bear level correction, sell-off drawdown, then gold stocks are going to be down a lot. And then they would rally, I think they'd rally bigly out of that as long as gold started recovering, which it should after that kind of thing. If gold consolidates sideways and remains overbought for a few months, then gold stocks would also mainly drift with it. And so our entry point would be later and higher. So from a trading standpoint, it'd be much more useful to have a gold sell-off, a gold drawdown, than just a gold high consolidation. We'd have to deploy later in a gold consolidation, you know, 3, 4 months from now rather than a month or two from now, and it'd be at much higher gold stock prices. I don't care what level we buy the gold stocks at, Andy. It doesn't matter. I just care where the level is compared to where it's been. You know, if
Right.
gold stocks just went up super far, super fast, they're overbought and they're not likely to keep moving at that crazy ascent pace. But if they drifted sideways for 3 or 4 months, they're probably fine. Gives their 200 EMA time to catch up. And if they fall, it's all the better because that's a low price relative to recent standards. So it's all relative. It all depends on what gold does, as does silver depend on what gold does. So gold's the key here.
Yeah, really well said. And I say I'm agnostic, and I am. But also, you use the word, well, what did you use? I'll just say best case scenario is we actually do get a sell-off. And I say that again to all the viewers and listeners. I'm a gold bull. I get all the fundamentals. I really do. But something I love, I just want to pick it up cheaper, right? And then I would
Yeah.
just start averaging in.
If you liked gold stocks in January 2026 prices, you'd love them, you know, 20%, 30%, 40% off that, right? They'd have the same fundamentals, the same incredible earnings power. But the lower, the better your entry, the better your profits are going to be in any trade. That's just the way trading works. Buy low, sell high. And so you want to buy when other people are selling, when fear starts mounting. And we haven't seen fear in gold and silver and gold stocks for, several years now, 2.5 years-ish. So yeah, we need some, need a dose of it.
I look at that. We really do need a dose of that. Okay, but just real quick, just walk me really through again the fundamentals or how the fundamentals are kicking in, if you would. So yeah, talk to me about that of why gold is has done what it's done, and not so much like it's going to do great for the rest of the year because again, we're agnostic. We really don't know. We're traders here, but. Yeah, why did gold have these moves? You talked about the Chinese buy-in. You talked about briefly about the US buy-in as well and the Europeans buying, just supporting the Chinese buy-in. But do you see retail investors flowing in? Do you see institutional money coming in now just at these high prices? Yeah, what do you see and comment on that?
Yeah, well, this bull that tripled in a little over 2 years, it was remarkable in so many ways. And one of the ways is that it wasn't driven by traditional sources of gold demand. Typically, American gold investors buying gold ETFs and also physical bullion in America is the main global driver of gold demand at the margin. But that wasn't the case since October 2023. It was Indian retail demand and even more so China retail demand. Also, central banks were big buyers. Interestingly, the World Gold Council puts out fantastic quarterly reports on global gold supply and demand fundamentals. They're the best available anywhere. And they break out central bank demand globally, known central bank demand, identifiable central bank demand, and also Chinese and consumer demand, which includes both jewelry and bullion in various countries. In 2023, 24, and 25, 25, 2025 was the weakest year in all three of those categories for central banks, Chinese demand, and Indian demand. So that'll likely continue. The Asian cultures, especially China and India, have a deep cultural affinity for gold. In America, it's kind of an anachronistic relic still. People weren't really interested in it until last summer at best. People, it's kind of like a weird contrarian thing, the gold bugs. Who wants to be one of those crazy guys, like you and me? But gold's starting to gain more, people are starting to respect it. I don't know if they like it yet in the West, but they're starting to respect it in America. And I think the single most bullish fundamental argument for gold today, Andy, is that American investors still have crazy low gold portfolio allocations. Like
Yes, I was
they're
going to
probably
go
around
there.
1%. If you divide the value of the major American gold ETFs by the S&P 500, the market capitalization of all those stocks, just for a proxy, it's less than 1%, even with these record high gold prices. And historically, for centuries, wise investment advisors have argued that everybody should have at least a 5% to 10% portfolio allocation in gold. Some people would argue 20% to 30% because it's the ultimate portfolio diversifier, insurance policy. It's the best thing to own when governments are, hyperinflating their fiat currencies away into oblivion with endless devaluations. And so gold investment in the West, especially America, is still super low as a percent of portfolios. And to me, that's the single most bullish fundamental argument for gold. And that's one reason I'm not fearing that this popular speculative mania in January 2026 will take, a half century for gold and silver to gain those prices like it did after January 1980, because demand is just starting to ramp up in the West. And my understanding is there's plenty of room for Chinese and Indians to keep buying, maybe not at the pace they've been buying, but their portfolio allocations aren't crazy huge either relative to their financial assets and real estate. And so we just need some kind of healthy sell-off here, as happens often in secular bulls or every periodically, to keep things, balanced and have the next leg higher.
Yeah, exactly what you said. I read or I heard it this. Well, I did read it. This was last fall. Both JP, I want to say JP Morgan, and I know Goldman Sachs, they actually recommended a 15 to 20%. Not sure which bank said what. Yeah, to all of their clients into gold, which I thought was telling. So I do think we're on the way. And again, people don't have 15 to 20% allocation on average right now. You and I have more than that, but you and I do.
Yes.
But yeah, but I just see that. I'd see that as another, maybe a conduit, I guess, coming into the market to hold it steady. Again, to all my viewers and listeners, I am not saying that we're going to stay at these levels. And I actually would like, I want to say the best case scenario is that we do get that sell off that Adam said. That being said, I just don't see it going back to, $2,000, $1,500 an ounce, or silver around $25 to $30 an ounce anymore.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, the new higher price level after a big move higher is always higher than the previous one because of that eternal devaluation of fiat currency, right?
Right.
The central banks are always printing more dollars, euros, yen, yuan, whatever. And so, but the global supply of gold, above ground gold, can only grow about 1% annually because of mining constraints and just the multi-decade logistical requirements to get new mines up and running. And the world's gold deposits are getting picked over. It's harder and harder to find them, no matter how much money you put in for exploration. I had one thought on your last statement that, oh my gosh, it was on American investment buying. Oh, imagine if we got to 3% portfolio allocations in the
Right?
West, or 5%. Doesn't have to be 15 or 20. That, I
It
mean,
doesn't
gold
have
would
to be
just
that.
be radically higher. And oh, I know what where I want to go with this, Andy, is obviously we have an AI bubble in stocks, right? I mean, everybody's enamored with AI, and the stocks even remotely involved in that have just shot higher for years and years, and their valuations are, high to extreme to stratospheric in some cases. What happens when that bubble inevitably bursts? All bubbles burst, right? Eventually, this AI thing is going to, people are going to realize, hey, we've invested trillion plus dollars in AI infrastructure, data center buildouts. Can we sell enough AI services to have a decent ROI on those investments? Maybe, probably not. And so when the
No,
stock
I'll say
markets roll
that.
over, I think that'll make gold and silver a lot more attractive to people. They'll look for alternative investments. This was kind of a worst case scenario for this gold poplar speculative mania in the sense that stock markets were at all-time highs as well in the past several months. And so therefore people weren't interested in alternatives because their mega cap techs were doing great, the stocks that dominate the vast majority of portfolios. But once stock markets roll over, the next bear is inevitable. It has to happen at some point, although it's been delayed for years by, Fed largesse. I think that'll really bolster the interest in alternative investments like gold. And I think that's a huge bullish factor for gold going forward as well, the fact that the stocks are in an AI bubble right now.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. I talk about with some of my other guests money flows. I'm just looking for both with getting people more exposure to gold, but also just as other sectors, if you would, in people's portfolios, they start to decline, enter again, whether that's a bear market or just even a modest sell-off. I'm assuming this is just an assumption in my theory that more money will flow into the precious metal sector.
It has to, at
Yeah.
1% portfolio allocations, people have no gold essentially, which just blows my mind. I can't believe anybody can even sleep at night without gold,
Right.
So as they see that stocks are fragile, bonds are fragile, currencies devalue forever. I mean, gold's just a natural destination for capital. There's nothing that competes with it. Bitcoin is tiny compared to gold. A lot of the younger people say it's gold-like, and it is in a lot of ways with the hard-coded supply limit, but gold is unique. It's got 6,000 years of history, as opposed to, 15-ish for Bitcoin. Gold is just totally unique, I think, and everybody needs to have in their portfolio, without a doubt.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Adam Hamilton Zeal, if people want to read more about you, do business with you, how do they do that? How do they find you? And tell us about all that.
We have a website, zealllc.com. Every Friday, I publish a free weekly web essay that anybody can read. We have a free mailing list if you'd like to be emailed and hear about those web essays or publications when they come out. We publish a subscription weekly newsletter, more speculation oriented, a separate monthly subscription newsletter, more long-term investment oriented. Been doing this for 26 years. Love it. Can't imagine doing anything else. Would love to help you learn about the markets.
Yeah, I've been a big fan for most of those 26 years. I've been a long time reader. Adam, I want to thank you so much. You're becoming a really good friend off camera. So enjoy talking to you. And love to do whatever I can to help you. Thank you so much.
God bless you, Andy. Thank you.
You bet. Take care.